whole name already?
Give you my name, Viola Smith.
Okay. And tell us about Hurricane Katrina.
Well, Hurricane Katrina was whirlwind, and it was a lot of rain, but it damaged New Orleans with the roofs and all like that, and the houses and stuff like that. But the main thing that happened was that morning when the levee broke and the water started coming in, and well, I didn't think that Katrina was the biggest problem. I think that when the levee broke, that was the biggest problem we had of the storm. And I think because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. They should have put them bags, and they should have fixed those levees way before that happened, and they didn't do it. And so I don't think that Katrina caused it, all the problems that we had. And now we having houses is not finished, houses is not torn down, not torn down, and we having the streets all bad and all, not got the streets like they should have fixing them, or none of that. Because the biggest reason is because they did not do what they were supposed to do, is to fix those levees before Katrina came through. And that's what I think about the storm and Katrina.
Why do you think they took so long fixing the levees?
Well, I don't know, well, really, but the way I feel about it, I don't know what they did with the money that they were supposed to fix the levee with. I don't know what they did with the money, because they had money to fix those levees way before Katrina, and they didn't do it. Now, what they done with the money, I don't know, but they did not fix those levees, and that's the reason. Biggest reason why the levees broke. Now, they could have broke, but they wouldn't have broke like this bad as they did, even if they had fixed them, but they never fixed them. So that's why I say that the reason for the flood and all of that in the city, that was the biggest damage, was the flood, the water. That was the damage.
Take us back to just when it all occurred, any horrors that you felt. Because I remember your son had told me that you and your daughter walked across the bridge. And
well, now, after the flood came in, we were in a hotel on Canal Street. And we had to get, they had to bring boats for us to get in, to go to the bridge, the overpass bridge, I-10, and we went on the boat, and I didn't go to the bridge because they brought us up by City Hall in New Orleans. They put us out the boat there, and you wouldn't believe it, they didn't have no water. They didn't have no water there. And that's where we stood there, my granddaughter and I, because my grandson was with his mother, my daughter, and they had too many on the boat to take them. So that's where we got on the boat. And when we got on that boat, that's when we got to City Hall, and we got off the boat at City Hall. That's where they put us off. And it was the saying that they would come on the next boat behind us. But my daughter and her son was not on that boat. And I told the man that was driving the boat back to get more people from the hotel on Canal Street, I told him that I wanted to go back because I didn't want to leave my daughter and my grandson. And so my granddaughter and I got back on the boat and we went back to the hotel. And when I got back to the hotel, they were there waiting for the leave for the other boat. But we got back before the other boat got up there where we were at City Hall. And so that's when I told them we're going to stick together. And when the boat left for to bring you to the bridge, they had one to bring you uptown and they had one to bring you to the bridge. And the bridge was where we were going to get on the bridge at, that was the Superdome on the side. Big Superdome had people overcrowded there, and on the bridge they had people lying on the bridge and sick, and some of them were giving birth to children, you know, the babies on there, you know, they were so hurted, you know, and scared and everything. And so they brought us there to the bridge, and we got on the bridge and we walked to try to get over the river. See, they had lights over the river, and so we wanted to try to get our phones charged, you know, so we could get in touch with our people. And so we was walking on the bridge, and they had some guards and had policemen, you know, guarding the bridge and all, and they told us that we told them we wanted to walk across the bridge over to the river. And she told us that that we couldn't walk over there. We would have to be in a car. And so they told us we have to go back. So we didn't go back. We went down on the side of the, where they got the way to go down on the side of the bridge to go to the dome, Superdome. We went down that way toward the Superdome. And when we got down there, it was hardly no water. And they had that hotel right there by the Superdome. And it just the glass hotel, it was nothing but glass, just glass that broke and fell, you know. And when we got there, it started to rain. And so we got up under the shade of that hotel because we were not going to the dome because it was too much going on. And they had buses just coming and going. I had about 30 or 28 buses be right behind one another, coming, taking people from the dome, Superdome. And we were sitting right across the street from there. And we went to that hotel and was standing there, and a lady come out. Thank you. She came out and she said to us, she said, y'all just got here? I said, yeah. And my daughter said, we was just trying to find somewhere where we could charge our phone. She said, come on in here. She said, I don't want too many people because it'll overcrowd over here. She said, come in and I'll give y'all some food, sandwiches, and some water. You know, she had bottled water. And we, when I walked in there, I looked up, I said, oh, I said, they got lights here. She had lights and a long table. And I said, oh, she got lights and a long table in here. And I told Pam. Pam said, sure is, Mama. And Jamal, my grandson, he said, oh, and I wish they had a charger here. We could charge our phone, you know, talking among ourselves. And she came back with a big a box with all the sandwiches in there and water and set it on the table. And after she did that, she told us, she said, you know what we gonna do? She said, we gonna go and clean up the lobby. Part of that hotel was on that side. And she said, we gonna go and clean up the some of that glass and got brooms and stuff and sweep up, and they got chair, folding chair, and then it'll be more comfortable for y'all over here, over after you eat. And we went on the other side in the hotel, and they had a where they had, you know, where you go to the desk to register when you go in the hotel. It all that was still there. And she went behind the desk And she said, I heard your grandson say he have a phone. Y'all have a phone to be charged? And she said, yes. She said, well, I got a charger.
Wow.
You hear me? And she said, y'all can charge your phone. And honey, she said, the reason for this, because if I tell too many people, they're going to all start piling in. And she said, I ain't going to be able to handle them, you know. And I know there's going to be some bad ones, too, you know, going to come in there. And they had them out there at the dome, you know, messing up, raping and all that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all that kind of stuff, killing. Well, she didn't want that to come over there. So she had another little guy, he come there. And he was working, he said he did the work at the hotel, keeping up the bathroom, you know. And he came there, and he and his girlfriend, and he came there, and he took found the plungers in a closet in there and all that, and he unstopped the bathrooms for us. And we had a bathroom. He cleaned all that, and he went out there with buckets and got all the water where all the water was on one side and wasn't nothing where we were. He got water and scrubbed and all that, found up in the cabinets in there where they had their stuff to clean the bathroom with. He did that. He got all of that and cleaned them bathroom for us. And then he left, him and his wife left. And he said, I'll do that for y'all, but I'm not going to stay. He ate a little sandwich, him and his wife, and they left. He said, because we going to get one of the buses. You're going to take the bus. And so, and I was sitting down, and I told Pam and Garel, I said, listen, I said, I'm going to sit here and count 38 buses and went over to that dome, picking up people. My neighbor not here, but in the next house over there, they went that Friday, they went that Sunday to Houston, because they got relatives who lived up there. And I told them, I said, we got the phone charge now. I said, why not call Wanda and them? I said, and we could get a bus from here to Houston, and from Houston we can go to Atlanta, you know. She said, oh, right. So Pam went and she said, and I told her, I said, go over there and see if they got a bus going to Houston. I said, now if they got one going to Houston and they're not taking, because they wasn't taking all the family. It was splitting the family up. Mm-hmm. And I said, now if they're not taking all the family, don't worry about it. I said, now, they're taking the family, come back and get me, and I'm ready to go. And so they ran over there, and before I could stoop over like that, they was back, said, Mom, Mother Stella said, Mama, get your bag. We going. She said, we got a bus. I said, what? She said, yeah, and so we got the bus, and that's where we rode all night. All day, and don't take no trouble to go from here to Houston. But honey, by all the bridges broke, where the fast way you can go, you know, you couldn't use all that. We had to take the old road, way, and it take you so long to get there riding in a car or a bus. Mm-hmm. And then you see now that way, you know, but them bridges now they making, you know, all them highways now, you can get to places faster than that. And so I said, we go to Houston, you know, get a bus that morning, and we in Houston that night, you know, that evening. But not when we left New Orleans. We was the next night, next morning, 12 o'clock, 2 days to get to Houston from here. And honey, we was dirty, but good thing we had our grips on us with them wipes. You know them you buy, you know, wipe your hands and all that. That's what we use. We use all that to keep us from stinking, you know. Yeah, to keep us from stinking, we go in the bathroom and took us a little wipe off with them things, you know, where the buses were stopping and changing so. And then we went through Shreveport. We went through Mississippi. Oh, all of them places. And then you had to change bus, you know, take your stuff off that bus, put it on another bus. But thank God we made it in Atlanta. And when we got in Atlanta that Sunday, it was a whole week before we got there. but we made it. And so when we got in Atlanta, my daughter came and she picked us up. And that's where, that's the part of it where it ended that. That's where I stayed up there a year before I come here. I never seen my house gutted because my daughter said she didn't want me to come to see it. But I seen it on the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got the pictures of where it was gutted, you know, and how it was all messed up and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had some. That's about it. So. Now I got some cold drinks in there, and I got some birthday cake. Y'all want a peek? That's my daughter's birthday. Her birthday was Tuesday.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she made 43 years old Tuesday. My birthday was February.
Really?
Mm-hmm. February the 3rd. Now, let me tell you about that. February the 3rd. My son was February the 8th. He's not here. My granddaughter, the one I'm talking about, she sure gonna be disappointed to not be here with y'all through your camp. Garelle, she was born on Valentine's Day.
Oh.
On the 14th was her birthday. That's when she made up 15. She made it on the 14th, on the 14th. Mm-hmm. And now my son, he made 46. Yeah, he's not here. He's in Jasper. And me, I made 58. I'll be young. I'm a very young person. 58.
I have a question for you. Do you believe that New Orleans will return
like it was?
Like it was?
I don't think so. I don't believe it. Now, I got to either be better or worse, and I think the way it's going with me now, it ain't gonna be better. It's gonna be a little worse. But it's not right. It's not right. I don't think so. I don't think it's gonna ever be like it was. It's gonna be like it was.
What was New
Orleans
like before Katrina?
Well, New Orleans was together with me. Oh, it's not concerning. It was all right. They had things not right about, or everything wasn't about right with it, but it was in good, it was nice to me. But now, it's different. It's not like it was. It was nice to live and everything, because I've been back here on the river place since 1973, and it was very nice back here and everything has changed. The people, you know, you don't know one another no more. It's like back here. Oh, and I knew that the door they would come and the people would say, go by Miss Smith. She'll tell you. She know who that is and she'll tell you who this is and all like that, you know. But since I've been back here, I don't know everybody no more.
Mm-hmm.
We got strange people. Different kinds of people. That's right. It's different. Very different. I don't think it's going to be like it was before. I don't think so.
Now, Ms. Smith, a lot of people after Hurricane Katrina, they stayed outside of New Orleans. They settled where they were dispersed to.
Mm-hmm.
What was your determination to get back here? What made you return to New Orleans?
The reason for me coming back to New Orleans, because I had something to come back. I had my house. That's what made me come back to New Orleans. If it wouldn't be for that, I wouldn't have worried about coming back here either, because I wouldn't have nothing to come back here for. There's so many people now can't get back here because they don't have nothing to come back here to. The biggest majority of the people to me was renting here in New Orleans. Yeah, and all of those that was renting, they don't have nothing to come back here for. Because the houses they were renting, the people they were renting from, they lost the houses. and they trying to get their houses fixed up. And they don't have the people that was renting from them. They don't have nowhere to stay. They don't have nowhere. And it was, to me, more people without houses, owning their own house, was here in New Orleans, and they had people that owned their houses here. And that's why it's a lot of people living back here in New Orleans. It's a lot. That's right. They can't come back. They ain't got nothing to come back here for. That was the reason for me coming back is me here. It's the reason. I'm going to tell y'all why my son did that too. To tell y'all, had y'all come up here. Because he had wanted me to stay in Atlanta.
Oh.
Yeah, he tried all he could to get me to stay in Atlanta. And I told him, no. I said, I won't come back because I'm used to having my own. Mm-hmm. I'm 85 years old, and I always had my own. After my mama died, I went out and took care of myself. And she died when I was 17 years old. And I've been on my own from 17 years old. That's why I tell my daughters, I tell my grandchildren, I say, if you make up your mind to do the right thing, good things gonna come about it. Because I made up my mind when I left the cemetery. See, when I was in Chicago when my mama died, I was 17 years old, but I had went up there to visit my mother's brother, my uncle, I had never seen before, and he came down for Christmas that year, and I went back that summer, you know, in that summer to visit him. And I went up there, I was up there when he died, when she died. And when I got back here, I'm not from here in New Orleans, because mm-hmm. I mean from Louisiana and in St. Charles Parish in Louisiana. Oh, and I'm from out like the country, you know, from New Orleans. It ain't but 36 miles from where I was, you know, because we could all, young days when I was coming up, we walked to New Orleans because we didn't have buses and cars and all that when I was young. We had to walk where we had to go and see they had ferries, they call them ferry boats, to cross you over from the other side of the river where I came from, over on this side. And we used to ride in boats with the peddlers to come to New Orleans, you know, to shop. And I was young when they built Eurofilon Bridge. That was where we had it made, because we had that bridge we could walk across, you see. We didn't have to ride in boats. We could walk across that bridge. And still, when I pass, I tell them, I say, bring me across my old bridge when I was young, when I used to ride Eurofilon Bridge, you know, and it's smaller than all these bridges that are made now, you know. And honey, and I pass, I tell her, I say, any days, I tell them when we'd be passing the car, I say, I done walk across this bridge. I say, when I was young, I said, it's an old bridge. I say, because I'm in my 80s, and I'm still going across that bridge, you understand? And that's what we used to do, walk across the bridge. That's right, Eurofilon Bridge. And I was telling them about it. And just like out here, which of course you all may not know it, but just like this optional hospital, I was about 18, 19, was 20 or 21 or 22 years old, and I was working out here in Mallory, here in New Orleans. And this lady I was working for, she had cancer. And she had both of her breasts, and she had a little girl and a little boy. And one was named John, and her daughter was named Johanna. And her daddy was a Dutchman. And he was a overseer over gas. You know, they're finding gas, Texas and Houston, all in places. He was one of them. They called him Dr. Out. His last name was Out. And I went to work for them because I didn't never make it no higher than the ninth grade in school. I never finished. My older sister them did, but not me. I was the youngest. And you know, all of them gone but me. My two brothers I had five sisters beside me, all of them dead. I don't have no more brothers, no more sisters. And I was the youngest. And I didn't go no higher than to the into the ninth grade. I went, my mama died, see, and I went on and took care of myself because my sister and them couldn't do it. They had their own problems, you know, and I didn't want to be no problem on them. I wanted to be on my own, and I went on and did it. And I took my learning from my mother and still doing it right now from what I learned from my mother, because she always did tell me, I was always up under her. She learned me how to cook. I cook in our church for 45 years. I just retired about 4 years or 5 years now, and from the kitchen in our church. And she always told me, she said, you know, when we would do something wrong, she'd tell me, she'd say, now I'm going to talk to you this time, but if you do it the next time, I'm going to whip you. She said, and I'm not going to be whipping you just to be whipping you. She said, I'm whipping you because one day that I'm going to have to leave you, not just you, all of y'all. And she's saying, when I leave you, you're going to have to know how to do for yourself. That's right. She's saying, I do not want you all to be leaning and laying on nobody. Get out and do for yourself. And I took that for granted. And that's when I left the cemetery. See, my mama was buried an hour before I got here. Because, see, she was buried in the country. And I had to get a bus from here to go to the country. And the bus that I could get to go to the country, that bus would have been, I'd have been too late for her funeral. They kept my mama body until 5 o'clock that evening waiting for me to try to wait till I come. But I didn't make it. But I went to the cemetery where she was buried. And that's when I walked away after I was in her grave. And I looked up at the sky. I said, oh, well, I'm on my own. I said, I'm going to have to take care of myself. And I walked out that cemetery. And I went out the cemetery and got in the car that had brought me to see her grave. And I went back to my sister and them, and I told them, I said, don't y'all worry about me. My sister and them did, though. They said, no, we're going to do what we can, you know. I said, no, you ain't going to have to do that. I said, all I want you all to do is to come down here. I said, I'm going to go to New Orleans and get me a job. And my sister was next to me. She was already living here. And she said, well, if that's what you want to do, she said, I'm going to get you a job. She said, and you're going to come down there and stay with me. And you can get your job and work. And that's what I did. And then from that on, I've been on my own ever since. I didn't go no jigging and jagging either. Mm-hmm. I took care of myself. I didn't go because I was free, and I didn't let them niggas bullshit me either. Excuse the expression, but I'm telling it like it is.
Thank you.
And I didn't let them boys run over me. You better believe it, because I told them straight. I said, I'm cold as ice. Mm. You understand? I'm not hot. I told them, straight, put it straight. I said, I'm not hot to get my leg open to y'all niggas. And if they wasn't clean and looking good, I wasn't going to talk with them. And I wasn't that good looking. And I wasn't a good looking person. Because you wouldn't believe it, but I was bright. I got darker and darker as the older I got. And if you see some of my young teacher pictures, but they got messed up, you wouldn't believe that with me. I was bright. That's right. I was light. I just got darker after I started having kids. Looked like it took my color. I just started getting darker because when I'd go home in the country, they would tell me, say, Bob, what's happened to you? You done got so dark, you know, because I was light. Yeah, I had that nappy hair and reddish hair and was not no good looking, that handsome looking girl. That's right. I was never, but they didn't mess with me though. No, they didn't mess with me. No, they'll tell you, they didn't mess with me. Yeah, a lot of them, all of them gone now. But Lord, we used to sit down and laugh about when we was young. And honey, I used to be a little fire pusher when I was going to school. They had a man He was living down here, but he had his family living out there in the country, so he used to come out there. And he had a girlfriend. And we was all, was coming from the party that night. And he gave us a ride. And he said, and he had this lady was sitting up in the front of the car with him. And it was me, Rose, and Helen. And we were sitting back in the car, and three of us sitting back. Now listen, now I would do that. I'll start the mess, and then I'll be the first one to go. Look, I was sitting up in the back. I said, now look at us. I said, Rose, look at us. We call her Tootie. We name her Tootie. She said, look at Tootie. She's sitting up there with that name. And like he sees her husband. Just like that. Now, they didn't give us a ride. Oh, now, that's the way we talk about. Sitting up in the back of the car. And we sit up there, and Rose said, yeah, sure is. She thinks she needs help now. I said, yeah, she sure do. I said, look at that. And it's all right. Look at the And Pearl was sitting up there and saying nothing. But I said, I ain't gonna do nothing, because we got to get home. And say, I said, yeah, we gonna get home, all right. And the car got his legs. The student was listening to everything we were saying. And I told Rose, and I said, Rose, you think she heard us? Rose said, yeah. She heard it. She said, I'm gonna tell you like this. If she thought anything with me, I'm gonna let her have it.
Ooh.
I said, oh, yeah. I said, when the car stopped, you know, if he was on the highway, like, and then we lived down that, roads out there in the country, and we lived down the road, so he stopped on the highway, because she lived further up above us,
mm-hmm.
You know, in the country. He had to go a little distance with her, and he's dropping us off. So he got there, when I seen that car, and when he turned that curve, I got to give him some of the soap. I ain't told Rose, I ain't told Pearl, I got to the door like this, where the hell that, and I put my hand right there on the hell. When he stopped the car for us to get out, I put that hell and I run right on out there. And left Rose and Pearl like that front of that woman. I left Rose on 4 feet. And then I said, y'all come on. I said, what are y'all doing now, man? Rose was fussing with that man. We got out there.
Oh,
I said, I know she was waiting till we get there. And I was down the road. Lord and them caught up, and the Lord come grab me. She said, look, I can shake this neck out of you. She said, you get us into this mess, and then you jump up and run it. When we got old, and we talk about that and laugh, and Rose said, Rose, well, I did, Rose, when you jumped up and come and run and left us there fighting going on with that woman. And you started it. God, I'm telling you, I was geeks with them, though. I used to like to see them go on a car. I used to get there and start a mess in the minigar in the school and get right on out there. I'd be gone. I mean, they used to call me, you sure think you smart. Yeah, and then you go slick for it. You slick. You do all your dirt and then go running hot. I said, child, I wasn't gonna mess with them people.
When you were our age, what did you do for fun? When you were our age, what did you do for fun?
When I was out in?
When you were our age.
When I was going out? When I was
20.
Let me see, what did I didn't do? Let me see. I'm gonna tell you the truth. I was a flirter. Oh, yeah. I wasn't too nice. I was a person, didn't care if you're old or young. I had to say what I had to say.
Mm-hmm.
And my mama used to whip me about that. I'm going to tell you, my mama, when I was frustrated for going out, my mama never did stop us from going out. But she said it's a way to go out and act, and, you know, and the time to come in. But we always did come in, like she said. And she said when she wanted us back for 10, 11, or 12, or something like that, we was back.
Mm-hmm.
But we enjoyed the time we had between that. But for me, I'm going to tell you the truth. I was a tomboy when I was young. I loved to be with boys. Mm-hmm. I didn't be with, I had friends. Girlfriends now, but I like to play with boys. I shot marbles with boys when I was little, climbed trees, shot one of them in behind with a
big
gun. Oh! I just, yeah, I did it. They had them shiny ball trees in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And them boys used to make them little pop guns with them tiny balls to shoot. And then one of them had them little BB guns that they shoot at them blackbirds and stuff with. Well, I wanted to do all that. And I was young. And I had about three of them, three friends of mine. And we grew up like brothers, you know, and sisters. And every time they come, I was right there and we gone. And I climbed trees with them. And this one here, was they called him Bum. I never will forget. They said, Bum. I never forget that name. You know why? Because he the one had a brand new little BB gun. And he was shooting at the boys in their tiny ball tree. And I said, well, let me see that. And he said, yeah. He said, I'm going to show you how to use it. He said, you see that? Now, you know that wasn't no bird in that tiny ball tree. That was a boy up there in that tiny ball tree. And the bum had learned how to use it. But that was Bum in the tiny ball tree. And the other boy, James, he was there showing me, saying, now you hold it like this, and you see right up there. I said, yeah, I wasn't seeing where he was talking about. I was just looking. I said, oh, yeah. He said, shoot right there, and that's where you're going to get that bird. And honey, and he said, pull the trigger. And I pull it, and I pull back on it, and he said, cow. And here come Bum falling out the tree.
Ooh.
And the shot in his behind.
Oh.
And he sit on it. And honey, then I took out, dropped that gun and run. I ran on home, honey. But when I got home, my mama, they had been already, now them boys, they got scared. They went and told that I had shot Bum.
Oh, no.
And they come got him. And they brought him and laid him on his stomach. And then they called the doctor, you see. And we was good ways from where we lived, because we used to be far apart, like, and playing. And so I had to run. And when I got home, I was out of breath. But my mama had already got the message.
Oh.
So she was sitting down there, this is nice, waiting for me. When I got home, she said, why? She said, I don't know what I'm going to do with you. She said, now, why? How you going to go get somebody gun and shoot somebody? I said, what? She said, yeah, you would have shot that boy and he's behind and they got him there. The doctor there picking them little shells out of him. You know, the doctor had to pick all them little things out of him. And so I said, oh, my goodness. Mama, she said, Mom, I said, Mama, that boy told me to shoot at that boy. I said, I was shooting at that boy. I didn't know Bum was up there. She said, well, you know it now. She said, now you know what you're going to be. I'm not going to whip you, but I'm going to punish you. She said, you don't play with none of them no more. None of them boys. If you can't play with them girls, don't play with them boys. And I ain't going to whip you this time because I believe you didn't go to shooting like that. But I'm not going to let you play with them boys no more. I said, now that's the biggest punishment she could have given me.
Mm-hmm.
Keep me from playing with them boys. That's the truth. Because I'd rather her to whip me and to stop me from going and playing with them and all that shooting off. See, we all, they come there just like I was a boy and come get me.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Come there and call me and I'll be gone. And tell you, if I would get barefeated and another thing I didn't do, I'm going to tell you, girl. I never liked the drawers on me.
No.
My mama used to find me anywhere I went. If I would go out and didn't tell her where I was going, just go out and play, she would find me. And she wouldn't. Because I'm going to hang them on the bed. That's why she couldn't find
him. Mm-hmm.
But she just always hanged him on, oh, you got a faggot for me? If it ain't Smith on that bottle of Smith, I ain't gonna take it. That's my granddaughter. I bet that's some shoes. Let me know Gabrielle gets so many shoes. Gabrielle got enough shoes in there to sell. Boxes of shoes. Every home. She just like her mama. And Panda got them too. She got them big things like that with shoes and that stack like that.
Wow.
And I say, well, Pam, when you going to get rid of these shoes? Say, I'm going to get rid of them somewhere one day. I say, you need them. Still buying. Every time she went to take me to go get a suit, and did it helping me get the suit. When Pam come where I was in the store, she had to got 4 pair of shoes, 3 little pair of pants, and another some kind of thing she wear, which is all that shit. Excuse me. And she wears, and I said, well, let her go in on. I said, because I'm going to take them and put them out there give them to somebody, want them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She going to come one day. I'm going to be in an amped out there because got to get all this shoes. And I done stacked Gabrielle one that high in boxes.
Wow.
In the back of her clothes. Mm-hmm. And all kind of shoes. No, she ain't going to wear all that. And they get me mad with them with that. But they're buying all that kind of stuff. And then when I'm going to tell you about it. I'm going to talk about my people now. I'm talking about my children. I'm going to tell you something about them. They don't do nothing. They don't clean, no. I clean. I wash. I cook. But they don't do nothing. There are my 2 of them here with me now. That's my daughter and her granddaughter. One I say, yeah, she loves company. Darcy, all she was doing, all y'all to spend the night. Put beds on the floor, put things on the floor. She feels that way. She said she loved company. Uh-huh. Yeah, she said, because she said when that, she had answered the phone once with you all. She answered the phone, because I told her after that, I said, oh, that they're going to come. She said it was coming tomorrow, Saturday for 10:30. She said, oh, I'm going to get up. I said, what you going to do, Carol? I'm going to get up and clean my room. I said, well, they ain't going to sleep, you know. I'm going to get up and clean my room. She said she's going to clean her room for you. She said, Grandma, where are you going to the grocery? I said, yeah, somebody to bring me. And I said, you all want to fix it? Yeah, we going to see. I'm going to see what they going to eat. Yeah, she said, right? Now she's going to be disappointed. She's going to say, oh, Grandma, they came today. I'm going to say, yeah, they came today. Now, y'all want a nice piece of cake? And we ain't got some cold drinks in there, because I ain't cooked nothing yet. Because y'all, you know why? I'm going to tell y'all why. She's right. My granddaughter, I said, you know, I'm going to let y'all go this evening and get something, some fryer, and get y'all something for lunch when y'all would have come tomorrow.
Oh.
But see, by her calling me late today, I ain't got nobody to bring me, you know, to fix something. Because I believe in them, she tell you, I believe in your eating.
Mm-hmm.
My grandson the same way. He in college, and he brings his roommates with him. Charlie loved to come. Oh, boy, they put the beds on the floor. So one time he had 4 of them here.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, with him. And honey, they enjoyed itself. And I got up and cooked, and my daughter cooked, and we fed them, you know, and everything. And then they had, one of them had his car, and honey, they went out. And honey, I was so disappointed in Jamal, my grandson. They ain't come in till 5 o'clock.
5 a.m.
And I was up all night wondering where them boys were. They were in the French Quarter.
Party.
In the French Quarter party.
Mm-hmm.
And honey, they come here and And so I told Pam, I said, well, Pam, your son done come out of the hood now. I said, he out of it.
Have you ever been to Mardi Gras? Did you go to Mardi Gras? Did you party at Mardi Gras?
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, child, for years and years and years. I just stopped going to Mardi Gras when I got 62 years old. Wow. That's when I stopped Capoy from Corner. And you know how I did that? What happened, I gave up smoking. I know I used to smoke. I smoked when I was young. Mm-hmm. And I smoked till I was 62 years old. That's why I could tell you that. And I gave up cigarettes and ain't smoked a cigarette since. And ain't partied since. Since I made my 62 years old, I used to drink my beer. Mm-hmm. Oh, I couldn't go without the beer and my cigarette. And I stopped drinking, stopped smoking. I'm 62 years old and I stopped going. All my friends and things in my days, when we used to go out for carnival and all that, they're all dead. Now, you wouldn't believe it. I don't have but three of them I know that's living. Friends come back. I'm not speaking of my neighbors and things now. I'm talking about from back. But even my schoolmates and all of them, they all did. And I went to school with them.
What did Carnival Mardi Gras look like? I've never been.
You never been?
So what does it look like?
Y'all got to kind of come. Where y'all from?
We live in Atlanta.
Where you live?
Atlanta.
You live in Atlanta?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All of us, we're from
Atlanta. So y'all in Atlanta?
Yes,
shit. Y'all got to come to Carnival.
This is everyone's first time.
Yeah, y'all got to come. You ain't got to worry about no where to stay. We a bunk up here. Bunk right here, baby. Bunk right here and enjoy yourself. Grandma, brother, don't mean nothing. Nothing. I enjoyed myself.
Wow.
I had my children late. I was in my 30s when I had my children.
Okay.
I never was pregnant or nothing. When I got married, I didn't marry till I was 32 years old.
Ah.
That's right. And I had four kids, you know, two boys, two girls. And like, it went crazy when I had the first one. Because I didn't know, I was pregnant, I was too old to be getting pregnant. I was 33 years old when I got pregnant. Never had been pregnant in my life. That's right. And my children are all 3 years apart.
Wow.
All four of them, 3 years apart. That's right. Because you know why I'm saying this, because I enjoyed my long life. Mm-hmm. I did. I had no strings attached. I was just me. Like I told y'all, I took care of myself. That's right. And when I seen the man that I think that was going to do and take care of his children, I was going to have for him. I married.
That's amazing.
And I was 32 years old. My husband passed in 92. He died in 92. And we had been together 42 years.
Wow.
But I just going to tell you, that's how I was. I didn't rush to get married, jump up because the boy, this and that, and all that. I wanted to be so he going to take care of me and my children. And that man did. My husband was good. I was working. I met him on my job. And he was doing some work for the people that I worked for. And I met him on my job, talking to him. Just talking then. And you know, I met him then, but it was about 3 or 4 months after that, he didn't even take my phone number now.
Wow.
I told him my phone number, he asked me my name, and he asked me my phone number, and I gave it to him. And after that, I didn't see him until that happened in October. And then and the day of my birthday, that's when he called me.
Wow.
And then me and him went out. He took me out for his birthday, and we've been out ever since. After that, we went out and we got married. Sure did. We talk about that all the time when he was living. he was kicked too. You talking about somebody was fun, but my husband. She's like, oh yeah, he won't go buy ice cream. Go get this and all. That's the way he is. He would like that. Uh-huh. Yeah, and my neighbor right over there, she was crazy about him. Oh Lord, she called him Slick. She named him Slick. Boy, she talk about him all the time. She said, it's so dead back here, it slipped dry. He used to keep us laughing and all that. And he was a kind of party. My husband was a party man. He loved it, a lot of seafood and a good time. He was just that type of person. Mm-hmm. And that's why we used to always have that. You all would enjoy that coming to the Jazz Fest.
Oh.
They have all those big, all these. Now this year it's going to be better than it was last year, because last year it wasn't too much because they had all that white singing. I don't care for that white singing. And so they had all the black singing. All these, the people have it in there. They're going to be coming out with them. And they didn't name some of them on TV. What's going to be here this year. That's because that's the best jazz festival when you have all the black, a lot of mm-hmm. black swinging and all that. It be good. They have some people. And so anyway, they all come. We used to always have that last Sunday of the jazz fest, we would have the cookout. We have a cookout. And all of Pam and Pat Prince, my daughter, they all come, you know, and they come back here for the jazz, and that make it be better because they'll come in and out. They'll go back over there, and then they'll come back over here and sit out and eat. You see, because over there, well, you know they're going to be selling all that over mm-hmm. there. And we cook the hip on the half to enjoy themselves. We get the crab and barbecue ready. Mm. I used to barbecue some and big old pan you bake turkey in them, them old old pan. I used to bake that for ribs. Yeah, I did like this. See, now I'm a funny person. I don't care for cookout food. Mm-hmm. I'd rather cook my stuff. Mm-hmm. See, I used to cook my stuff inside and they cook their stuff outside. Yeah, I used to cook all that ribs and, you know. Oh, and my husband used to work, he's a truck driver. He go all up the line, up the countries and all that, bringing machinery and all. And on his way back, he always stop and bring the sacks of sweet potatoes, sack of corn and green beans and all of that stuff, mustard green. He'd put all that in the truck and bring it to him and put it right around there by my faucet. And I had two, they took, you know what they done me? They took my two tubs. Old number three tubs I had, they took them and throw them away. See, I wasn't here when they got my house out. And mm-hmm. a lot of my stuff I wanted to keep. It wasn't bad, mm-hmm. you know, and it took, and I had them, and I was going to keep them three, size three tubs, you know, that was from when I was young.
Wow.
Yeah, when we used to take bathing in the country. We ain't had no bathtub. No, all that in no country. We had to have them number three tubs. And that's what we bathed in. And I had them, you know, from way back. And I kept them. Well, I used to soak my crawfish in them, you know, clean mm-hmm. my crawfish in them. And crabs and stuff when I'm going to boil my crabs. They took them to get all, got rid of my tubs. I'm going to see, you're going to see that no more.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so mad with them and them doing that. Getting rid of my stuff like that. Oh, you don't need that no more. You get too old. You ain't gonna fool with no more crawfish and all that. I said, I don't be too old to cook y'all nothing to eat. One cooking ain't no different than the other.
Thank you.
And I said, oh, but you ain't gotta be cooking no crawfish and all. I said, well, that's okay. Yeah, and I used to boil them, and then I used to cook them sweet potatoes, honey, canned almond, you know, and them greens. I used to cook all that for that. They had all that food for me. Enjoy themselves. After they leave that track, see, when that track closed, then they come on over here. And then they all get in the yard, put the tables in the yard there, and then, and honey, they be eating down.
You know? Mm.
Yeah, they be eating down. And they'd be in and out. And then my neighbors, you know, all of us, we all get together and all. And then the thing about it is that after my friends and all of them start getting sick, you know. And they all start passing away on me now. And I got the three of them. One comes over here, her, with my neighbor over there. Mm-hmm. I know with her when she's a little bit of girl.
Wow.
We got that house over there. Mm-hmm. Well, her friend of her mama and my was a friend of me, Alice. We were neighbors together. It's just her, me and her. I'm a year older than her. She 84. And she comes over here and comes by Glenda too. But now that's the old ones I'm talking about. And then Annie Mae was a neighbor of mine. And all the rest of me, her, and Annie Mae. I don't know no more now. They're all gone. It's us three. But they all used to come back here. And all of them. And honey, they had a good time. Well, they were stuck. And well, I'm telling you, they was kicked. Put out some kids. Well, them days gone, sweetheart. Now it's y'all time. And I went to church Sunday. I was saying, it's a new church. It's a new generation. Ain't old generation no more. All the old people gone. We about the older one now in the church. And they got a whole lot of younger ones. You know, they all... I was looking at them Sunday in church. I was sitting around looking at them. I said, all the old ones gone. Now the new generation coming. Yeah. They y'all got to try to give me. You know, if y'all take my phone number and take my address, and I want y'all to do that. And y'all come for carnival. And y'all, maybe y'all hook up with a boy, one of my friends and stuff. Maybe my grandson. Look how old y'all is.
20 and 21.
And oh my God. That's the same age.
Really?
My grandson gonna make his 21 in June.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And then his friend. I believe he is 21 already. I know one of them, Harris, is 21 already. And Arthur, I think he is 20 or 21. And then they had two more. I don't know what how old they were. But I know they're all around that same age. They had two more. They didn't come this year. Yeah. But Arthur and Harry and Jamal and, oh, Lord, and I'm crazy ass Shane. Shane don't never have enough girlfriends.
Oh, wow. You got to stay away from Shane.
That's our judge. Yeah. Live right in that house over there. On their back, huh? On their, yeah, they live right in that house over there. Camp. If he knew y'all were here now, he's going to take y'all everywhere. Boy, he's something. His mother is sick, though. I was over there to see her yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Ms. Smith, before we get ready to go, can you tell us what makes you happy?
Y'all.
Aww.
Children. Really, y'all don't believe that. I'm just as happy as I can be. Y'all just like I've been knowing y'all for years. My dick ain't open. No, it sure is. Let me don't lock it for.
Oh, then let me go. Is your front door open?
Yeah.
I'll go through. So I want you to get up. And...
Yeah, I can get up. You stay right there.
Okay. Y'all just
Thank you.
I want you to...